beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Knowing that you are our shield, knowing that you are our riches, we are grateful, Lord. Tonight, again, we ask that we will have your way. Flesh will not have its way in our midst. We come against every work that is not good. It will not manifest among us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We humble ourselves before your throne. Take absolute control. We are clear. Lord, we are clear. It's your spirit that makes difference in us. Without your spirit, we are like carcass. We are less than carcass. We are asking for the manifestation of that spirit, that we will live like the life, we will live the life of the last Adam in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will speak with boldness. We will have an understanding of the heart in the name of Jesus. Father, we are grateful. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I listened to a song and that song was a warfare song. I don't know, are you ready? Just for 2 minutes. Just play it for 2 minutes.
One more time. First it was fragrance. Then it turned to fire. I saw. Roll, let's go. Tell your neighbor, say, give me space, give me space, give me space.
Hallelujah. Please, you can Google it. That song is a warfare song. And it will also give us, it was talking about using worship to win the battle of flesh. You understand? The way to win battle of flesh. We will see here a lot of, I think there was an aspect of it that I flew with. Praise God. Once again, please, can we have our seat? I want to appreciate the set man for the privilege to be a blessing to the people of God. I quite appreciate you, sir. I also want to appreciate all our pastors. Barrister Jemilon, praise God. I don't know whether you are Barrister Pastor Jemilon. Praise God. You are welcome, sir. Thank you for coming around. Anytime you come around, I feel very comfortable. Do you know why, sir? That means the work is being validated, because we know that God has given you a lot of exposure, and you are not just an individual who fellowship where things of God are not being spoken about. So I have that sense of validation each time you are around. Thank you very much, sir. Pastor Ogidon. Thank you very much, Pastor Dele Olubi. Last week, right, I'm not going to paraphrase, I'm not going to talk about it, but I just want to talk about one or two things that is very germane and connected with what I intend to speak this evening. And I was saying that the issue of our heart is very significant because this is what forms our personality. You don't have an ambition apart from what is in your heart. Your heart is the seat of ambition, is the seat of thirst, is the seat of desire, is the seat of longing. Praise God. And so, I remember I discussed a little bit of faith last week. But today, I want to go a little bit further to look at how our heart could, you know, generate an appetite and thirst for sin. How our heart can generate appetite and thirst for sin. You know, Solomon in his wise saying, he said, guard your heart diligently. I love the word diligently. The word diligently could also be translated as carefully. Guard your heart carefully. In other words, our heart is exposed to all kinds of things. Praise God. And once they enter, pim, it forms a personality in you. So hence it is important for us to take note and significantly pay attention to our heart and allow and disallow certain things that could filtrate, that could enter into that heart. Praise God. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Oh, 2 Samuel chapter 23, sorry. 2 Samuel 23. From verse 13. From verse 13. I can't read. There is something that is blocking it. Okay. He said, now, three of the 30 chiefs went down and came to David in the harvest time. I want you to pay attention to the word harvest because I want us to look at that environment. That environment is very, very important, very germane. In the harvest time, unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistine pitched in the valley of Rephaim. I also want us to pay attention to the word valley there. Valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold. David was then in a hold. He was in a stock. He would not move to either left, right, north, or south. He was encamped around by the army of Philistines. There was bombardment that was going around and he was in a hold. Coming out and move to the west is difficult. Moving to the east is difficult. Moving ahead to the north and south is difficult. He was in a hold. He can't move. He can't move beyond the valley of Rephaim. He was in a hold. Of course, in the environment of valley of Rephaim is where the cave of Adullam was located. It was in the same environment. He just find a place to hide himself in that place. So the Bible said that he was in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines, unlike Nigeria, now a garrison of a soldier should number 1,000 men. A garrison of a soldier should number 1,000 men. And that is why when Nigerian army was Nigerian army, we have the southwest garrison was located in Ibadan. Ibadan garrison. And so it has the constituency of, you know, Akure, Benin, etc., etc. Even including Lagos was part of it. So when you number the soldiers that were around those units or around those brigades, you will discover that they are likely to be up to 700. Praise God. Because the number of Nigerian army is not up to 5,000. Yes. It's not up to 5,000. But of course, when we read the account of how they kill people, you will discover that the Philistines, when they call them garrison, must number more than 1,000. So, garrisons of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was another city which was supposed to be very a native land of David. You know, he came from Bethlehem. So they have taken over completely his environment. They have taken over his household, his family, his territory. So he was in a hold. Verse 15. And David launched. Look at that. Another word for launch is to be attached. He tests. He launched and said on that one, and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem." I want us to take note. Wasn't there water in the valley of Rephaim? Wasn't there water in the valley of Rephaim? Which is by the gate. But David was used because that was his nativity. He was already used to that environment, to that water of Bethlehem. I don't know whether water tastes differently, except the one that is bad. Pastor D, let's say science. The one that is, they say water does not have taste. A water that has taste is a bad water. At least that's in secondary school now. A water that has taste is a bad water. So what is in the water of the well of Bethlehem? What is it? That is lust of flesh. That is lust of flesh. That is undue and unnecessary ambition. Praise God. That is unwarranted desire. David was a New Testament guy, and I love him. Because that was not the end of it. Though he longed for it, but he did not drink of it. And it was not as if the water was not given unto him, but he knew the implication of taking that water. Most times when we preach and we use this scripture, we take note of the mighty men. We make some emphasis on the mighty men who went, those three men, who break to the stronghold of the Philistines and brought water for David. But we do not consider the implication of the demand of David, that it has capacity to destroy him and the life of others. And that's what sin does. That's what sin does. Sin does not stand alone. It doesn't stand alone. Like I said, it has two legs. You can throw the leg into the left. You can also throw it to the right. You can throw it to the front. You can also throw it to the back. And when legs are being thrown, somebody is being hurt. Praise God. Verse 16. Look at verse 16. And three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines. Can you imagine? Because the commander, the word of a king is what? His authority. His power. They break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, can you say nevertheless? He will not drink thereof because he would have drank the blood of people. Praise God. He would have drank the blood of people. He understand the implication. I don't know whether it was the Holy Spirit that ministered to him that Kilufe for me, Bethlehem. Say, are you God? Why are you making that? Why can't you deal with your thirst? Why can't you deal with your desire? Of course, the fact that he poured the water away showed that there is water around. Praise God. Because if there's no water around, and this is what sin does. This is what sin does to man. Praise God. The Bible said that, but poured it out unto the Lord. There are so many things that we can give to God. There are so many things, there are so many desires and ambitions that we can give to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, all of the time, there is inner emptiness in man. And like I said, that's the sin that we are talking about does not only dwell in the life of unbeliever, it also dwells in us. Praise God. There is inner emptiness in every man. There is void in every man. There is void in every man. There's an aspect of unfulfillment in every man. And as a result of the makeup of a man, the man yearns to fill that emptiness. He wants to fill that emptiness. He wants to fill the gap. But I want you to know that the starting point for the oppression of sin and death is that emptiness. Praise God. I don't know whether you feel empty before. You just think, why am I living safe? Think we better can commit suicide. Praise God. Emptiness, void, unfulfillment. Just look at it. Look at my maid. It will be torn well. It's a good desire, but that desire is being brought by someone. That desire is being instigated and inspired by someone. So, the inner emptiness, the voidness, and the longing in the heart of a man is a starting point for the oppression of sin and death. You can imagine what Satan did to David. He put him on a hold. And he triggered a desire in his heart in order to kill him and to kill his commanders. Praise God. After he has put him on a hold, then he now began to minister to him. He began to remind him, sin is wicked. Sin does not come in form of evil. Praise God. If sin has come in form of evil, we will recognize that this is sin. But unfortunately, it has never come in form of evil when it appears. Sin always comes in form of good, in form of beauty, in form of need, in form of something that is required. That's how sin comes. Sin, if sin appears to you and say, I am sin, you will run away from it. But it won't appear to you as a sin. It will appear to you as a helper. It will appear unto you as a need. It will make you feel that you can't, don't you know that you need this thing? It will create a desire for that thing in you and it will make it sensational. It will build it up and exaggerate it in such that you feel that if I don't have this thing, I am done. I am undone. Praise God. Sin never comes in form of evil. And so it is very, very important for us to know how sin operates. Hallelujah. So, basically, what sin does before sin could operate is to weave a desire and put it in the heart of a man. That's what it does. It will weave desires. It will weave ambition. First and foremost, don't forget that I've said that it will firstly create in your heart a sense of emptiness, a sense of voidness, a sense of inadequacy, a sense of the fact that you are not up to your equal. People who steal, what do you think that they steal? Why do they think they steal? They want to be president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And they needed a lot of money. And so they begin to steal. Only dollar come who was president. Praise God. They are all and a vessel that Satan has weaved ambition and desire into their heart. And the only way to fulfill that tall ambition is to steal. Praise God. So we see sin as a smooth operator, as a weaver of sin, who weaves sin and plants sin, who weaves desire and plant it into the heart of man. I want us to remember that scripture, guard your heart. Especially when ambition is speaking in your heart. There was a young man that passed through this church, very brilliant. That guy has ambition. Wow! Oh, he was very ambitious. So ambitious. Even while he was in Futa, he was already holding seminar. And I'm watching out what will become an end of him. He was already watching international seminar. He's so ambitious. He's so passionate about. There's nothing wrong with ambition. But ambition must be weighed side by side with your love, your desire, your longing for God. When the ambition is not weighed side by side with your longing and desire for God, then something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong. Something is not right about it. So we see, look at the book of Genesis. Praise God. Genesis chapter 4. Can we read from verse 3? I want us to look at this scripture. It's also a very common scripture. He said, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Praise God. God did not demand for offering. He didn't ask him for offering. It was on his own will, on his own volition. And I want to sincerely believe that that desire was weaved into his heart. Praise God. And there wasn't wrong. There wasn't anything wrong about him bringing an offering to God. He was the firstborn. And so when Cain noticed, when Abel also saw that, he also want to act like his brother, brought of the firstling. That's the difference. Of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. I remember I spoke about the antecedent of faith the time. They don't have any antecedent. Their father never gave offering. At least it was not recorded in the Bible that Adam gave offering unto God. Even when he was sent out of, one would have expected him to do exactly what God did and say, okay, let me appeal to God. But it doesn't occur to him. But this guy, Cain for that matter, if this thing was generated by Abel, we would have said that, hey, conscience spoke to him. But Satan desired him. Satan desired him. And the Bible said it. And he was looking at what to do. So he present good work unto him. He presented unto Cain a very good work. It was a good work to give offering unto God. He presented a good work unto him. Give God an offering. And so, but when Cain was bringing an offering, he brought from the flock. Now, he brought from the, what did he bring? Fruit of the ground. We don't know how that fruit of the ground, but I want to sincerely believe and trust God that if that fruit of the land is one of the fattest, like that of what Abel has brought, God wouldn't have rejected it. Though what Abel was giving was a type of what God will do in the future. But importantly, that is what Cain had. Praise God. But I'm sure that, and of course this happened to many of us. He just feel that the offering, he just carry anything anyhow. And God look at it. And it was Satan. I just, offering is offering.
Praise God. The Bible said that God had respect. Go to verse 7. Go to verse 7. This is where I'm going. Okay, let's read from verse 6. He said, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Like I said, God had respect for one, but he does not have respect for others. It's not as if he does not receive it, but he doesn't have respect for the offering of Cain, Korea's offering. Praise God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ had respect for the offering of that widow. It was not the quality. It was not the quantity. Thank you, sir. But it was the quality of what that woman was giving. It wasn't the quantity. People gave more than what that woman gave. But the Bible said that he gave all. And that was what Abel did. He selected, he carefully selected those ram, those offerings. He carefully looked at which one is the fattest among these, which one is the first among it. It was a careful selection of what to give unto God. But Cain didn't do that. And God had respect. So he became angry that God did not have respect for. And verse 7, he said, he now said, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lie at your door, and unto him shall be his desire. You don't forget that this is for who? It's not for Abel. You are already a desire of sin. Sin has desired you right from the beginning. He is interested in you. You are the firstborn. He wanted to eliminate the generation of men. He doesn't want generation of men to live. So he desired him that if I could get this one, yes, there's not going to be, the program of God will be truncated. So he put a good work into the heart of Cain. Do you understand? It was a good work to bring offering. He put a good work into the heart of Cain. But within the concept of that good work, he was standing at the door to twist the good work into evil work. The good work was twisted into evil work. Why? Because he was not giving what God deserved. Praise God. Wasn't giving what God deserved. And so, what was the end? Sin completely honed him. The book of Romans chapter 7. Let's look at Romans 6:16. Okay. He said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants? Of course, the Bible did not record how Satan ministered to him. But we noticed that it was the orchestration, because the Bible said that sin lie at your door. Sin kan lekun, o kan lekun yarai. No more offering, wa. But you offering to fall on me. He prescribed the offering unto him. Praise God. And he yielded to him as a servant. He obeyed sin and gave offering that is unworthy unto God. And so he became the servant of sin till today. Praise God. He became the servant of sin till today. So, now we now begin to see that sin does not operate in a straight way. That's why the Bible said that wise. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 1. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Give it to us now. So as to be able to stand what? The wiles of the devil. He's a strategic person. Listen, if he comes straight, we'll be able to take note of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I conclude by saying this, that sin is not just an act of omission or commission, but a new commandment. It's not just an act of omission or commission, it's a new commandment. In other words, there's an initial commandment that God has given, but he brought his own commandment. Don't do it that way. That was exactly what he did to Eve in the garden. A new commandment is a new commandment. It's a commandment that is entirely different from initial commandment that God has given. It's not just a commission. It's a new commandment. Praise God. And so we need to be wary. We need to be very careful. And that commandment is not evil. Hello? Look at Romans chapter 7. Let's look at 10 and 11. Okay. Look at it. He said, "For I was alive without war, without the law. Before law came, man is cool." Praise God. Listen, there are some people in that room deliberately to put themselves there. But let somebody that is an authority ask them to go and stay there by commandment, by 5 minutes, there'll be an agitation. There'll be an agitation. You know, nonsense. How can they put me here? At the New Lara. In fact, in quick time, they begin to sweat. Do you understand? Because sin will activate rebelliousness in them. Praise God. Except people that are very, very... Even if you are naughty. I remember the story that Pastor told us. It was so funny. It was so funny. You know, when all his brothers put him in the toilet and lock him up, he was not prepared to beg, but he started begging. But they didn't listen to him. Unfortunately, they forgot him there. Yes. Heart of man is wicked. They just forgot him there. And there was nobody to rescue him. From there, he slept off. Thank God for that sleep. God show mercy. Praise God. But if he put himself there, he will feel cool as many hours as. Because... And so you see, for I was alive without law once. But when the commandment came, sin was revived in me. That word, disobedience was revived in me. Disobedience was revived in me because I have sense of independence. I want to be free. I don't want to be lord over. That's what sin. That's what Satan is telling us. And it's good. You will let that man lord it over you. You will let God lord it over you. That's what trick is. Did God say you should not? No, it's not true. Oh, Molong. He knew that the day you ate of it, you'll be like him. And they begin to agitate. See, begin to agitate. Give them so many thoughts. So, God has said we are like him. We are not like him. He said, your eyes will be opened. You'll be able to differentiate what is good and evil. And that is where we find ourselves today. Praise God. So, verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Praise God. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I find to be unto death. Is the commandment of God a death? It's not. But why? Because another commandment came that minister to them that that commandment is not commandment of life. It will give you inconvenience. It will not allow you to be yourself. You won't be able to do what you want to do. You want to be held down like that. That's why I'm asking, say, one of us says you. That's a commandment. It's a commandment. When people say that kind of things to you, fight against it. Because the next thing you do is that you begin to look at the mirror. I remember there was a man that saved my soul when I was in a crisis. You know, I was driving the Honda and I was coming across and I was receiving a call. Unknown to me, it was an agitation, it was more or less a fight. And I hit a brand new Mercedes. And the man saw the telephone. The first thing he did was to take the telephone from me. And he was listening to the person who was speaking to me, how the person was ranting. Go and die. The person was ranting. And the man looked at me, he said, come, what's your problem? I said, I don't know. He said, it's better you identify what your problem is. He said, so you want to kill yourself over what? He said, when you get to the house, go and look at mirror and see how beautiful you are. Said, you're a beautiful man. The man was not even talking about his Mercedes. Again, he said, you're so beautiful. You're such a beautiful person. And you allow somebody to harass you over what? You know what I did? When I got home, and the man said, and I went to the mirror, and I said, Bola has not changed. I look so good. I look healthy. I said, close shame, Loto. That's a commandment. Praise God. It happened to each and every one of us. And we have to be very, very careful with this operation. If we are not careful with this operation, it will lure us into disaster. It will lure us into committing what we ought not to commit. Now, verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceive me. How did sin deceive you? By giving you another commandment. He gave you a new commandment that the first commandment is not the right commandment. It will inconvenience your life. It won't make you to live. He gave you another commandment in order to slew, in order to kill you. Praise God. In order to kill you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we begin to see the oppression of sin. So basically, we can safely conclude that what sin does is to extract the commandment of God from our heart and planted his own commandment. He will extract the commandment of God from our heart and planted his own commandment so that he will have an occasion to enslave us and to own us as his property. That's what he does. Because it was fighting. Of course, at the beginning of it, we said that there are two spirits that is fighting within us. So once his commandment is planted and you yield to that commandment, you yield, it doesn't. And the unfortunate thing about it is that his commandment is good. Hello? What did I say? The commandment of devil is good in court. Sin will not present evil to you on its face value. Sin will not present evil to you on its face value. What sin does is to wrap it. It will wrap it. It will envelope it. It will cover it up. It will paint it. First and foremost, it will panebit it. It will putty it. It will paint it. It will now wrap it with a birthday gift. And it becomes attractive. Was it the first day they were seeing the fruit in the garden? Why is it that it is now that sin painted the picture that and the fruit is good and is good for the eyes to behold?
Praise God.
That's what he does. That's what he does. He doesn't present evil as evil. He presents evil as good, and good as evil.
You know, there are many operations in the scriptures that is so amazing. You can imagine King Saul. How did sin operate to destroy him? He take the fattest of the ram from the city of Amalek. And he brought it. And he said, this one will be good for what? For sacrifice. Taleroku minister said, he said, whereas the first commandment was that go and utterly destroy Amalekites and spare none. But when he got there, he saw the beautiful ram, big ram. He just looked at it. Ah, Eli will love this. Samuel will appreciate this. And he brought them. And when Samuel came, he heard the bleating of the ram. He said, "Had God has great respect for sacrifice than obedience." Why? Because he knew that he has obeyed the voice of someone. Saul wouldn't have done that. But he has forgotten. Why? Because of a new commandment. And listen, you must be careful the way you live your life. You have to cross-check what is being ministered unto you. Sometimes it will look as if it is the Holy Ghost. It may have a biblical backing. But check it and cross-check it with another person. What's wrong in somebody starting a ministry, sir? Hello? Is there anything wrong in someone starting? Nothing. But were you sent? Do you have a calling? It was sin that ministered to you that you should go and do it so that you can be like others. And so by the time you do all of those things, he slays you. He will slay you, kill you. He will destroy you. Praise God. What about Saul of Tarsus? Because when you look at the operation of Saul of Tarsus, he was also disobeying commandment of God. The commandment of God, he said, some people were not working according to the law. But he was using the law to break the law. Thou shalt not kill. Praise God. The law says, Saul of Tarsus is a lawyer now. He should have known better than anybody. He should have known better than any other person. If he was fighting for that people are not keeping the law, it is not legal or lawful for Saul to kill people that are breaking the law. Praise God. The book of Leviticus does not prescribe it. Of course, he was not a priest. Praise God. He wasn't a priest. He doesn't have that legal right to do it. But sin ministered death unto him. We thank God for mercy of God upon the life of Saul of Tarsus. Only God knows the number of his colleagues who did not come back. Because I'm sure he must have had some accomplices. But we didn't hear about them. Why? Because they didn't come back. But he obtained mercy. And God appeared to him on the way to Damascus. I said, why are you kicking against the pricks? It is a dangerous thing for you to kick against these pricks. He said, who are you, Lord? Ask. He said, who are you, Lord? He thought it was angel that was speaking to him. He said, no, I am Jesus Christ, whom you are kicking against. And he was overwhelmed with the awe of God, A-W-E, of God. He was overwhelmed with the awe of God. And he was converted. Praise God. What about Ananias and Sapphira? Was it not
Of course, this guy was telling him, when the land was with you, do we force you to sell it? Ah, force, eh? On your own volition, you said, I'm going to sell my land. It's your decision. Nobody asked you to do it. But when you are coming, you are bringing the part of it and you lied to us. See, trigger that lies in them. I don't know how many people have received that kind of ministration. Everything, you are taking it to church. Ah, praise God. I've told you a story of when God asked me to go and give a pastor, a man of God, the money that I was supposed to use to pay the school fees of my children. I said, how can I? What woman wants to lay one school? He said, go and give it to him. And I carried the money and I was crying. God said, I will give you, but it's my children's school fees. I did not. No, because the man was embarrassed. He said, okay, let me take it. I will give you back. So that I said, no. He just said, I will give you. And I gave him. I turned back. I was still crying to my flat. Because it was, I don't know where I will get the next one. But guess what? The following day, triple of that money was given back to me. Triple of, I was not expecting. Somebody just knocked. And he said, he just looked at me. He said, you don't recognize. I said, I don't know you again. He said, from worry. Immediately, I said, you, this man, you lied to me. He said, don't worry. And the first thing he did was to, the envelope, he just passed the envelope, put it on my table. I was to help him to recover debt that Navy was owing. So, but of course, normally I was expecting. But I didn't see him for the good 3 months. He was not coming. I said, oh, this guy has used worry sense for me. For the time he came, he gave me that envelope. In fact, I went to the toilet and I started counting the money. I was sweating when I was counting it. Praise God. Because of the offering that I gave the following day. But Ananias, do you know that I would have obeyed the commandment of Satan because he kept on telling me that that's your children's school fees. You don't have hope of paying their school fees again. That means your children will not write exam. That's his commandment. That's a commandment. He kept on saying it to me until I climbed up and I said, but it's my, I said, God said I should give you, but it's my, the man was so embarrassed. He said, praise God. So we need to begin to look at how Satan turned good to become evil. Now, it would have amounted to evil if I had removed from that money. Of course, maybe what I received, I won't receive. Or if I receive it, God will not count it as offering unto me. So, it's just little things in our lives. Is that the operation? That's the way he operates. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hello. However, and this is very, very important, what sin cannot successfully do for humanity, for man, is to completely remove the desire of God or the longing for God in the heart of man. Praise God. However, it circumvents man and put a wrong way in seeking God. I don't know whether you understand. It circumvents man. He knew that every man has heart for God. That's a desire. Do you understand? The Muslim, the Jews, look at the book of Romans chapter 10. Now, let's look at Romans 10. Let me back it up with scripture. Romans 10. Look at, he said, brethren, my heart desires and pray to God for Israel that they might be what? Be saved. These are the sons of Abraham. These are the sons of Abraham, but they were seeking God through another commandment, which is different from the commandment that the Lord God has set as a standard in seeking for God. Praise God. They were seeking God through another commandment, which was quite different. So in other words, Satan cannot remove the desire from the heart of man to long for God. We long for God, but he can put the desire to long for him with his own commandment. In other words, they were not seeking for God in a right way. Muslims, they said that, Olong Kono Lansing. And I have never hesitated to tell them each time I have the opportunity to say that, no, we are not. We are not. Because I believe that I was a sinner. He took my sins and imputed the righteousness of God upon my life. And by his blood, I am cleansed and I am purified. That is my belief. But you believe that the only thing that cleanses your sin is when you go to mosque, you wash your legs, you wash your hands, you wash your nose, you wash your mouth, you wash your ears. Is it not folly? The issue of washing is just that, okay, it is a thing born. That's heard wrongly. The mouth has spoken evil, and they wash it away. The eyes have seen things that suppose not to see. They wash it away. The legs has gone to a place. They wash it off. The hands, Abba. Abba. And by the time they are going, they are still looking at. But it's not so with me. So we are not serving the same God. Why? Because Satan has planted into their heart to seek God with another means, in another ways, with another commandment, which is different from the commandment that was given to me. I don't know whether you understand what I am saying. So you can see what sin does for everybody. He hold the whole world into his captive. He hold the entire heart into captive. Praise God. So the soul of man yearns for God, like the soul of David. The soul of man yearns for need, like the soul of David yearned for water of Bethlehem. However, meeting that need is what is important that determines whether you are obeying the commandment of God or Satan's commandment. Praise God. Having money, is it not good, ma? I went somewhere, I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, and the bricklayer called me. He said, after Jesus, the only thing that a man should pray for is money. I stood. I said, I've never thought about it too. He said, I'm telling you, sir. I said, why did you say that? He said, He said, environment tell me. But after Jesus, once you have Christ, what should be your only request again is money. Praise God. Well, that's true. It's another commandment. But do you know sometimes if you have a wife and you don't have money to feed the wife? But the Bible said that he that could not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Do you understand? Women will nag. They will nag. They will nag you. It doesn't matter. Any brethren, am I speaking? They will not. Especially when they don't have what to feed their children. They might stay in hunger, but they cannot allow their children to stay. They will fight. Irrespective of your anointing. They will. Mr. Ogidon. Thank you. They will. If there is nothing, you don't present food for children,
she can go on longer. She won't mind. But over she come on. That is the lower share me. Nagging has started. It's the law, sir. Nagging has started. So when that man said it, I said, it's true. I was thinking of earth. And what's up? I laugh here and call. Oluwara lafia fun yan. Pe when you eat well. Only when you eat well. When you are not eating junk. And I was confused. I've not been able to decode that. I was confused. Oluwara la only kill and soy. Especially the Jesu. Egbadura lafia. And I look at it, I say, yes. That's true. Do you understand? So, but when that desire is weaved around money for yourself alone, and it does not weave around how to influence and affect others, then how many minutes? Okay. And it does not affect others. You remember that rich man? The Bible says that today your soul is required from you because RNA can do more. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, in other words, it's another God in the heart of a man. Sin is an idol in the heart of a man. And I love the way Paul put it in the book of Colossians chapter 3. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5. Give me verse 5. He said, mortify therefore your members. I have given us, what are those members? The members are my hand, member of my body, my eyes, my mouth, my everything. Part of my body. Mortify them, members, which are upon the earth. He said, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, or inordinate desire, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is what? Which is sum all of them together under one umbrella of sin. That this is an idol. So sin is an idol in the heart of a man. Once, do you say, well, since I don't bow down. You don't need to bow down. Once you obey him, you are bowed down. Once you heed to his instruction, you have worshipped him. So sin is an idol. It's an idol. It stands like God in our heart. Sin stands like God. We are asking for the help of the Holy Spirit. We are asking that he will purge our heart and he will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So, like I said at the start of it, what sin does, first and foremost, take note of this operation, is to create a lunge. Mufe mumi Bethlehem. Agbado de wumi je. And one share giri. And you saw 10 naira on the floor. You didn't bother who owns the 10 naira. Use it. Likely could you, okay, that touched you. Go and repent. Praise God. And you just take the 10 naira and go and purchase corn. Though it's your mother's money or it's your daddy's money. But what you have done is wrong. You have obeyed commandment of your soul, which is different from the commandment that God gave. Thou shalt not steal. You see, Pastor was telling me, I think it was Pastor that was talking about how the Uyibos poti robbery for us and call it money laundry. Sir? Oh, okay. I think it was Falana. It was Falana that was saying it. He was saying it openly. He said, the corruption in the West is much more than the corruption here in Nigeria. And he proved it. I have the video. He proved it. He said, you said Nigeria is corrupt. Who received the corrupt money that they stole? Are they not? So it's not about abuse the thief, but don't abuse who take the money. Abuse the two of them together. If they don't have a place to keep the money, they won't steal. If somebody steal money and take it to Switzerland reject, Britain reject. At the end of the day, they roll them on. But they take it. Who is corrupt? All of them are thieves. He said, but the unfortunate thing is that they call it corruption instead of we to call it in the in our modern tongue, only. But when you call them only, you have stigmatized them. Money laundry. He said, it doesn't make any impact to them. It may so love is paid they are London. But when you talk Olu, OnGPT, you call them the original name. Praise God. So we really need to look at those areas in our lives where we are being tricked to walk against the commandment of God. What is happening at that particular time when we yield is that we are obeying a new commandment which is different from the commandment of God. The Lord bless us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to bow down before Pastor comes and ask God to help your heart. All of us, we need help. I need your help, Lord. I need your help. I need you to help me. I need you to help assist me. I need you to help me so that I can overcome these tricks, these lies, this deception, these lies where I am being entrapped on a daily basis. I want you to pray to God for help. Ask him for help to deliver you from that commandment of sin. Deliver me from commandment of sin. Let me not be a victim or a prey unto him again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name we prayed. Praise God.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.